This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on January 16th, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We'll proceed to item 4 on the agenda, Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on Dallas County Republican Party. DCRP, document A11-14. I'd ask the audit staff to come up. And I understand we have... Paula Nerthen and Doug Kodish?
Correct.
Okay. Ms. Nerthen and Mr. Kodish for the Audit Division, thank you. Yeah, you have the floor. Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon. I'm not quite sure which at this point. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, before you is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on Dallas County Republican Party, which recommends that you approve the two findings as presented in the draft final audit report. The two findings were finding one, misstatement of financial activity. The audit staff determined that for 2010, the committee understated its reported receipts and disbursements by $31,817 and $32,201, respectively. Finding two, for 2009 and 2010, the audit staff identified payments to employees totaling $35,520 for which payroll logs were not maintained. This amount consisted of $70,520 for which the committee allocated payroll between federal and non-federal activity, and $15,000 paid exclusively from the non-federal funds. We're prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions or comments of the audit staff? Vice Chair Allen?
Thank you. This is not a question. Thank you very much for your presentation. I noticed that with respect to all of the four audits that are on the agenda today, there's an issue that has apparently come up previously with the commission, but it was prior to my being present on the commission, and I'd like to give my views on the issue. None of the audits identify the amount that the committees paid to contract workers, and the committees didn't maintain logs to document that the time that those contract workers spent on federal election activity. And it's my view, I think this is an important issue for us. I think that this amount should at least be reflected in the record-keeping finding, because to not require this, I think, opens up a loophole that is not and was not contemplated in BCRA, and we should be reflecting it in our audits. And so during each of the motions, I will be making a motion with respect to that. Thanks.
I have a quick. Could you go through those numbers one more time on the payroll, and just go through those numbers one more time that you said on the payroll issues?
The payroll was $85,520 for which payroll logs were not maintained. $70,520 of that was for payroll which was allocated between federal and non-federal funds.
Okay.
And $15,000 was for payroll that was paid exclusively by the non-federal bank.
When you say exclusively, do you mean to one employee who was exclusively paid from the state funds?
No, exclusively paid from the non-federal funds.
Non-federal bank account.
Non-federal bank account.
Okay. Were any employees paid exclusively from the non-federal account?
Yes.
Okay. So you had one or more employees who were paid 100% from the state account?
That's correct.
Okay. Do we have any information that those individuals who are paid 100% from the state account performed federal election activity?
No. We were told that they performed only non-federal activity.
And do we have any information to controvert that representation?
No.
Okay. Does the audit recommendation contemplate finding that they violated the law by failing to keep audit logs for that individual or individuals?
That's correct. That's what our audit finding was concerning, that they didn't maintain logs to show what percentage of time for any of these employees they split their time between federal and non-federal activities.
Well, I understand some split their time and were paid with a mix of federal and state funds.
Correct.
And they failed to keep audit logs for those individuals.
That's correct.
Okay. One or more individuals were paid exclusively with state funds, mm-hmm. right?
That's correct.
Okay. And their representation was that those individuals performed only state election activity.
That's correct.
And we have no information.
Non-federal activity.
Non-federal activity. And we have no information to controvert that representation.
That's correct also.
Okay. But encompassed in the audit recommendation is to require them to keep logs even for that non-federal employee?
Well, one of the issues, Mr. Chairman, is that, you know, we review non-federal activity to determine whether there's a federal election activity component to it. And so as we're reviewing that information, you know, we look for documentation. In this case, we didn't have any documentation to substantiate that there wasn't federal election activity.
And the burden is then on the state party to prove to you that the individual performed only non-federal activity?
In essence, yes, I guess you could say.
Sounds like a burden-shifting problem. Do we typically audit state parties in their activities regarding non-federal elections?
No, we don't.
Okay. Yeah. Where do you think we get the jurisdiction to regulate, i.e. by imposing a log requirement, on a party's completely non-federal election activity?
As I said, we rely on the records to support that there is no federal election activity going on in those accounts. And, you know, anything deeper than that, I would have to defer to the OGC to comment, because that's a legal issue, I believe.
Well, I would ask our Office of General Counsel, do we have jurisdiction over non-federal election activity performed by the state party?
No, but in this instance, what the issue is getting at is that the regulation requires that...
In your name, please.
I'm sorry, Danita Albarico. But the regulation requires that all employees maintain records of their activity. And so even those employees who spend no time on federal election activity for purposes of audit determining whether the allocation is appropriate, the regulation, we believe, supports that all employees, includes those employees who spend no time on federal election activity.
I guess for discussion purposes, I'm just going to object to that assertion of federal jurisdiction over a state party where we have no evidence to indicate that the person did anything other than non-federal activity. I don't believe that the commission has legal jurisdiction to regulate 100% non-federal activity by imposing reporting logs, our regulatory regime, unless we have explicit statutory authority, such as in the case of, foreign contributions or something like that, that prohibits foreign money in all elections. So in the future, I just want to let you know, unless we have information contravening the representation of the state party, I'm going to suggest when we see audit reports in the future that we don't have jurisdiction over 100% non-federal activity, whether it's an employee or whether it's an ad that the state party runs to elect their gubernatorial candidate, for example, that doesn't mention a federal candidate. And I'm going to probably support a motion today that excises that piece of the recommendation. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The position that you just articulated, as auditors know, is this came arose also in the Georgia FEC audit, and there was a motion in that. It didn't carry, but the position that you just articulated was one that that I supported as well as Commissioner Hunter and then Commissioner McGann. So I stand by the position that that I voted on back in that one, and at the appropriate time, I will support the same conclusion that we excise that amount that we. So in this case, Dallas County Republican Party support the recommendation with respect to the $70,520 in payroll expenses that were allocated between federal and non-federal funds, but excise the $15,000.
Any other comments or questions? Commissioner Walther?
This is a case where the state party registered, though, didn't it, as a federal political committee?
Correct.
So when they do that, they recognize that there's some aspect of their activity that may be governed by federal law, I assume.
I would assume so.
Okay. Then how much of a burden is it when you know you have employees A, B, C, D, and you know at least at the beginning of the activity that you intend to have it 100% state funding? And so the record keeping would mean that as I understand it, you just report that you know it wouldn't be a burden because you just know that that's the way it's going to be. But at least you'd have a record of it. So I see an affirmative nod. I guess the question to me is: it's not really a burden. It's a record-keeping requirement. The entity is registered as a federal political committee. I don't see a jurisdictional aspect to it that prohibit us from asking you know what the employees are doing. And to me, it's very often. At least in my experience, that things move fast during campaigns. What you plan at the very beginning doesn't always turn out to be the case because new things arise, new money comes in. So old employee A may, you know, as you intend, go through half of a period that you're talking about or anticipating, and the next thing you know, A has to be doing some federal work too because somebody's sick, somebody has other things to do. And at that point, if you don't keep records or keep track of it, then you have to commence it. So I'm just thinking from my own perspective that it's hard for me to eliminate that given the fact that it wouldn't be much burden. You've got a federal political committee. Things can change during a campaign, which would require change and alteration of record keeping, and it would be hard to look back. So those are some of the factors that run through my mind. On. I welcome any comment on that.
Yes,
well,
sir.
I think, you know, the position is that there could be federal, I mean, it's always that there could be federal election activity in the non-federal account, and that's why it is examined. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the lack of records, and, you know, we had some OGC device that there was a, that they felt that there was a payroll record keeping requirement, so that's, you know, why it ended up in the report.
Mm-hmm. Well, in response, Commissioner Walther, I think it is a burden. I think this audit establishes it's a burden. They had to address this audit. They had their state account audited. They're now being dinged in a recommendation of an audit report. It could be, depending on the dollar amounts, it could be referred to OGC for further enforcement. So I think that the second you start asserting the jurisdiction over non-federal activity, you are imposing great burden and potential burden and even punishment. I do not think that we have jurisdiction over purely state election activity. So if a state party decides to run advertisements to elect or defeat gubernatorial candidates in a race, and we have no evidence that that advertisement mentioned a federal candidate, we don't have jurisdiction to regulate that expenditure of state money from a state fund on a state election. And by the same token, I don't think we have jurisdiction to regulate an expenditure by a state party from a state fund on state employees devoting their resources and time to state elections. Now, in many state parties, it is quite practical to silo employees. in a given election year, you may have a Senate election, a congressional election, state gubernatorial election, and state delegate elections. And sometimes you assign your staff and say, your job is to get our delegates elected, or you're going to be working on the gubernatorial effort this year. So for a state party to make the representation, I believe the representation takes them out of our jurisdiction unless and until we find that they made a misrepresentation, that the employee indeed was engaged in federal election activity. So I think that the jurisdictional fork in the road is quite significant. Commissioner Weintraub.
If we don't require them to keep any logs and we don't look at anything that they say at the get-go is non-federal, how would we ever know? How would we ever acquire the information that they were just wrong?
Well, in this case, they do have employees that they admitted engaged in federal and state activity, and they did split the funds. So there is some evidence that they were aware of the split requirement and that they minded their P's and Q's in dividing the money between state and federal accounts for those employees. I think what your question presupposes is an intent just to violate the law.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm not suggesting any intent to violate the law. I'm suggesting more likely a complete inadvertent violation because the rules are complicated and they may have thought there are certain what might feel like non-federal activity, like get out the vote activity close to an election where a federal candidate's on the ballot. They might think all that's non-federal because their intent is to promote their gubernatorial candidate. But in fact, some of that is considered federal election activity. They just might be wrong.
We have, in this case, we have no evidence. They've been there. They've audited. They've looked for it. They find no evidence that this individual performed federal election activity. And absent that evidence, we don't have jurisdiction to impose a regulatory regime on that state employee any more than we can impose federal disclaimer requirements on their state election advertisements.
But as you said, we went and we looked. And if we have no – if we don't look – I mean, I get the argument that some people would say, well, you know, as long as they tell us they're doing it right, I mean, why do the audit at all? They told us they were doing it right. We should accept their word for it and just, you know, bother somebody else. That's one way of that we could do our business. We could just shut down the audit division altogether. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we I'm certainly willing to consider our audit thresholds and how we decide who to audit. You know, if we, you know, one of the things that struck me about this audit in particular was that, you know, we're looking at fairly small dollar activity here. And I kind of looked at that and said, if we're auditing this committee, maybe we ought to take another look at our audit thresholds and see if they need to be adjusted so that we're focusing our energies on major players and not small fry. Not to in any way demean the good folks of Dallas County. But that's a separate question altogether. If we are going to do an audit, I think the audit division, I believe, rightly has historically asked for logs from all employees. We recently refined that in the context of employees who are being paid entirely with federal funds. And what the commission said in that case was, well, yes, you're still required to keep the logs, but the commission's not going to penalize you since you've taken the made the choice to pay entirely with federal funds. And the whole purpose of the logs is to make sure that you're not underpaying with your federal funds. You're paying 100% with federal funds. That satisfies any interest that the Act would have in your record keeping. But this is a different aspect of that. This is where they're choosing not to use federal funds. And in order to assure ourselves that that decision is rightly made, I think we have to look at some records.
Well, I was told we did look, and we found no evidence countermanding the representation. So now the Federal Election Commission is nonetheless asserting its regulatory jurisdiction over purely state activity in an audit report that makes a finding
of a violation of a reporting requirement where we have no evidence to indicate this individual engaged in any federal election activity. The audit finding now is the regulatory act in a case where we have no evidence that they engaged in any federal election activity. We are asserting jurisdiction into a purely state affair through the audit finding itself.
Well, the problem is that we don't know. The reason that we have no evidence, or we don't have any evidence that they did anything wrong, we also don't have any evidence that they did anything right, we just don't know because they didn't keep the logs. And that's the whole point of this regulation, and the way the auditors interpret it is to make sure that logs are kept so we can assure ourselves that they are doing it right. If we don't look, if we say you don't have to keep the logs, then we are never going to have any information. Mm-hmm.
And the log is in a regulatory burden imposed on purely state activity, which I don't believe we can impose any more than we can impose disclaimers on state ads. I get the problem you're identifying. How do we know? Well, they made a representation. Our auditors went. Our auditors saw no information to countermand the representation. And now even with armed with all that audit information, we're nonetheless asserting regulatory jurisdiction. So I don't think we can impose a federal requirement on purely state activity. And I've exhausted myself, but that's my position.
No, we're just going in circles.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
The reason that we don't have any information to either contradict or confirm that these employees were appropriately paid with non-federal funds is that they didn't keep the logs in the first place. So, you know, we're just going around in circles at this point. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to agree respectfully and decently and graciously to disagree on this point, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
Could I clarify something that I said? I'd like to clarify that we didn't have any evidence to support what they said or oppose what they said.
Right.
And these employees that were paid from the non-federal account were also paid from the federal account, from the shared allocated portion.
That's a different, that's a different than I understood. I thought there were some employees who were in silos paid 100% with state money, mm-hmm. and the representation was that at least as to one or more of those employees, they kept no logs. If I readily admit that if you have an employee who is paid jointly out of federal and state, and the representation is they, because they engaged in both, then there is a log requirement.
That's what was happening in this case. These employees that were paid from the non-federal were also paid from the shared federal-non-federal activity.
Okay. I agree. Those employees, we have jurisdiction, and they should keep a log. Was there any employee in Dallas County paid 100% with state funds?
I would have to double check that there wasn't one. It's my recollection that there wasn't.
Bear with me one second.
There was zero.
I know what he's asking. Is there any that were silent? Just out of the That's what my recollection is.
I'm sorry. I see my point of confusion then. In the summary of your findings on page 5, there is a sentence that the amount of $85,520, this consisted of $70,520 for which DCRP allocated payroll between federal and non-federal funds, and $15,000 that DCRP paid exclusively with non-federal funds. And I interpreted that to mean that there was an employee behind those numbers, you know, a siloed employee. And is that just not the case?
That's not the case.
Thank you for the clarification. Help me understand the verbiage. $15,000 that DCRP paid exclusively with non-federal funds. Explain how that $15,000 trickled through the payroll.
It was paid from non-federal bank accounts.
sprinkled across employees?
Sprinkled across, I believe, no more than two or three employees.
Who are also paid federal funds to engage in federal activity as well?
Correct.
Could I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please do.
So was, because I think I'm confused also at this point. So the $70,520, was that paid out of an allocation account?
That's correct.
Okay, that's it. So there was an allocation account and a non-federal account, and they paid for part of it out of the allocation account and part of it out of the non-federal account.
Right, the allocation account is a federal bank account. Right.
Okay, and no siloed employees being paid exclusively with state funds?
I would have to double-check that there wasn't possibly one. To my recollection, they were all both paid out of a non-federal bank account and also at times paid out of the federal bank account.
Okay. I need a moment.
Thank you.
We'll take a 5-minute recess.
That wouldn't explain so much.
Okay. Without objection, we're going to hold over item number 4 today, which is the audit of Dallas County Republican Party, and item number 5 today, which is the audit of the Republican Party of Iowa. This issue is embedded in both of those audits, and we just want a little more detail on the facts of how employees were paid and what whether they went month in, month out between allocated funds and state funds, or whether any employees were siloed solely as state employees.